At the MTV Video Music Awards this week, stalwart groups like U2 were pitted against newer pop acts like Destiny's Child and NSYNC. But the greatest number of Silver Moon Man statuettes went to a video for a musician who doesn't sing and rarely plays an instrument, DJ Fatboy Slim. He created his hit song Weapon of Choice by recombining bits of other people's music, much as a collage artist might make a picture out of clippings from a magazine. Fatboy Slim was in Washington recently, performing at a club, which in his case means mixing records live, up on stage, before a packed audience. But before the show, Fatboy Slim stopped by our studio to talk about his craft. And the first thing I have to ask you is, what do I call you? How do I dress you?
Well, my friends call me Norman.
Because your real name is Norman Cook.
Yeah, my real name is Norman.
Where did you get this name anyway?
Thin air. It doesn't mean it. I've told so many different lies over the years about where it came from. I can't actually remember the truth.
So tell me, you are a DJ. Is that what you would call yourself?
I think actually on my passport it says producer stroke DJ, which is like it's like singer songwriter back in the 70s. Now you're kind of producer DJ. So you make records, but you also play them.
Well, but you know when we say DJ, DJ today doesn't mean what it meant 30 years ago, even 20 years ago. I mean, used to be that a DJ came on a radio station, presented music of one kind or another, and talked about it.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
not what we're talking about these days.
No, I never say a word, and I seldom play on the radio. No, I mean, DJs now. I mean, club culture around the world is really taking off. The role of the DJ has kind of changed. You're kind of an ambassador of music now, rather than just the bloke who puts the records on in the corner.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of people listening to this interview who are not part of the quote-unquote club culture and don't even know what that means. So to explain to people what a DJ does these days in clubs to get people dancing, you take a bunch of records that you choose, right? And we're talking about real records, vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Vinyl.
Vinyl.
And you put them on various turntables and you mix them up.
Yeah, that's as simple as that. That's a strange thing, that though the job description has kind of changed. The actual basic job is the same. You just play records. You blend them into each other so they kind of become one long sort of musical journey. But it is just, you know, two turntables and a mixer. The funk soul brother, right about now.
The funk soul brother, check it out now. The funk soul brother. The funk soul brother.
Funk soul brother.
Funk soul brother. See, I need a translator. Funk soul brother, right about now. About now. Understood how you guys don't get confused, because you've got a beat going from some genre of music, presumably, and then you could choose something from another genre,
yeah.
Right?
It's just experience, really. It's like learning to drive a stick shift car. You know, when you have to do the clutch with your left foot slightly before you do the accelerator with your right foot. And once you've learned to do it, it's quite easy. It's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach. One ear has to be able to listen to something different than the other.
Now, see, this sounds like, I don't know, some early rock and roll from the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, this was a kind of sort of northern soul mixed with sort of surf music. That was the gag.
Surf music, yeah.
Well, it was because I half wrote it, and then I went on holiday to Bali, and I was sitting watching the surfers, thinking, what shall I do with this? And I just thought, no one's done a surfing tune for ages.
Well, what music do you choose when you're going to create one of the, I don't know, what do I even call it? What do I call this that you're creating?
Tracks.
So what
tracks we call them.
What music will you choose to create the tracks?
Absolutely anything and everything. My only one criteria is that it wasn't a hit in the first place.
It was not a hit?
Yeah. I think if you use hits, it's too easy. And also, people latch onto a song they've heard before. So I just take little fragments of other people's records, little snatches of vocal and things like that, and try and kind of, it's like a collage, and then normally by the end you have to add your own kind of bass lines and whatever, but no, it's anything goes as long as people haven't heard it before.
Then you have to have a pretty prodigious knowledge of music if you're using things that are not hits.
Yeah. Also, well, also, is you just buy you can buy rubbish records a lot cheaper. No, literally, what I do is before I do an album, I go to like tons of thrift stores and just buy boxes and boxes full of really rubbish old albums, you know, and it's like 50 cents each. So I like just buy the whole box and take it home, and then I sort of sit there, and then you know, nothing happens for the first 10 or 15 track records, and then you know, and I find this one noise and think, yes, I can use that, and it goes in the library. No, I get a lot of innocent pleasure from scouring record shops trying to find samples.
Now, see, it seems to me that the purpose of this music would be pretty straightforward. Get people to dance.
Yeah, it's for the hips, not the head. Yeah.
But is there anything else to it? When you're choosing beats, are you thinking of some kind of theme or something?
No, I think on the last album it was a general kind of positive, loved up kind of feeling because I'd just fallen in love, but nothing kind of lyrically. I think the only kind of actual point on any of the tracks was the last track, Song for Shelter, which is a kind of rant about why we love club music and why we love nightclubs and getting drunk and that moment at 5 o'clock in the morning when you completely lose it. That was the only kind of track with any kind of message. The rest of it, like I said, it's just, you know, it's there to make you dance and smile.
I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, oh, into this thing. The deeper I go, the more knowledge I know what to sing, what to bring. What? I get deep, I get deep, I get deep, I get deeper, deeper, deeper into the vibe. What? Chilling in the corner at the shelf all by myself, checking it out, I'm not dancing no more, but why?
Now, who is this?
This is Roland Clark, who's from New York, sings in a band called Urban Soul. So this is one of the ones where I actually got, you know, a proper live vocalist.
Now, but you never kind of sing or speak along
No.
with it. Why?
Because I haven't got an American accent.
Who cares?
I'm not black. I don't know. I'm not really a vocalist. I'm a bit too shy, I think.
There's something very hypnotic about this music, though. Even, I think, even not the, as you put it, the lovey-dovey, sunset-y. I mean, that's hypnotic in a different way, in a kind
Yeah.
of meditative way. But the other music, even though it gets you, your blood pumping, I guess there's a hypnosis going on.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I think, you know, if any person who makes dance music, if someone describes it as hypnotic, they would say, yes, you know, that was what I was trying to do.
We've come a long, long way together, through the hard times and the good. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should.
Now, how many layers, though, are going on here at
There's
once?
about six there. I mean, this groove at the moment, it's a sample of a piano, sample of a guitar, there's me playing a bass line on a keyboard, and then there's about four drum loops.
But you must have to use a computer when you do this for a recording.
Yes. And if I did it live, I'd just have to take my computer and all my samplers on stage, spend all afternoon setting them up, and then I'd just walk on stage and press start.
Well, do you use something super fancy and highly technological or
No,
something
that's
simple?
very, very old school. I don't know if you know your computers, but I use an Atari ST, which is about 15 years old. And all other musicians laugh when they see the studio.
Now, why do you use that?
Some of it is laziness, because I know, you know, I can't be bothered to work, you know. But also, there's an element of like, it ain't broke, so don't fix it. My sound kind of comes out of these machines, and that suits me fine.
Is there any music you wouldn't use that just, you know, we were talking about among the staff. Well, could you use Hoagy Carmichael? Could you use Gershwin? Could you use Cole Porter? Could you use Glenn Miller? What could, I mean, I guess all music is
I'd
up for
say out of them
grabs.
about 50%. If you go through them again, I'd say Gershwin you could definitely use. the sort of sweeping strings. Cole Porter might be difficult. I mean, there's certain things you can't use because of time signatures. Like, I'm a real big fan of blues music, but all blues music goes did like a 6/8 chug, and you can't really put that over a dance beat. So, I'm very disappointed that I couldn't make that one work.
How do you know when you've finished, though? How do you know when this track is long enough?
Sometimes it's the hardest thing. Normally the track's too long, so you then have to shave bits off. I don't know. I mean, I think knowing when you're making music like a collage, I think knowing when it's finished is one of the hardest bits to do. But I don't know. I just keep playing it to my friends and until I can't hear anything wrong with it.
Do you sometimes feel like, gosh, at some point, I'm going to have to get a different career because I can't keep doing this music forever? Or why not? Why couldn't you keep doing it forever?
I have obviously put a lot of thought into this, and as I approach the 40, I think, how long can you do this? But the thing is, I don't have to do the running around and wearing Hawaiian shirts and DJing the world. Because I'm a producer, I can kind of slip more into the producer's role and, produce other bands. That way, I'm still working the music I love, but then I send them out to do the difficult bits and the soul-destroying bits. So yeah, I think as I grow older, I'll probably do less and less traveling, but more and more just making music or making music with other people. And that I can do to the day I die.
Well, Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim, thank you very much for
Well,
talking with
thank you.
me.
Thank you for having us.
When they are so unique, it is a week. When they are so unique, it is a week.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. Our show is directed by Tracy Brick Wall, edited by Kitty Topcat Isley, and produced by Alice X. Winkler, with Annie Wu Tang, DJ Rob Sachs, Melissa Ice Gray, and Amy Spin Walters. The senior producer is Walter Ray Ray Watson. Special thanks to Peggy MacDaddy Gershman. Reference librarian is Flava Key Molesky. Singin' Sally Robertson is in the music library. The technical director is the grand, incredible Abdullah Rufus. Audio engineers include Kurt D. Rock Turner, Jerry T. Tennant, Neil Boogie Down Ellis, Guy Love Gavin, Joe Money Woods, Renee LaRocque Pringle, Carlos Lodos Gomez, Sherry Cher Marchewski, and Radek Boom Boom Brablek. At the operations desk, Tommy Tom Woodward. Newscast producer is Quinn Q-Dog O'Toole. NPR's online staff includes Chris Mandra, Jamie Deerwester, David Banks, Vicki Valentine, and Patty Edmonds. And I'm LL Cool Simeone. Good evening for Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News. Do you just listen to music to relax?
Yeah.
What do you listen to?
Anything that doesn't sound anything like what I do. So the only music I can really listen to relax is kind of old, slushy stuff. Nat King Cole, James Taylor, Carpenters, very big in my household.
The Carpenters?
I've probably just destroyed my career now, haven't I?
You heard it on NPR first. Fatboy Slim listens to the Carpenters and James Taylor.
It could have been worse. I was brought up listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary.